Law and Gospel, the Reformation Solas, the Theology of the Cross, the Means of Grace, Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's written by regular guest Dr. Al Schmidt. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity is published by Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. College is very, very expensive. And many people, after 4 years or more, emerge and find themselves unable to get a job, and they wonder whether or not that money was wasted. If you paid for that education, you might wonder as well, what if your daughter decided not to pursue her career that she trained for after 4 years of college, maybe a little graduate school, but decided to stay home and be a mother and a wife and raise your grandchildren? Anna Musman joins us to talk on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 7th, about stay-at-home moms and college education. She herself is a stay-at-home mother with two toddlers and author of an article for The Federalist titled, No, Stay-at-Home Moms Don't Waste Their Education. Anna, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much for having me.
What would you say to a father who's spent the last 4 years paying for his daughter's education? She graduates, she gets married and decides she wants to have kids and stay home. And he says, I just wasted all that money paying for her college. How would you respond?
Well, I can have some sympathy for him. I get how somebody could feel that way. Education is very expensive these days. But I wonder if the father would feel the same way if he'd paid for his son to go to law school and then his son graduated and didn't go to law school and then did something else that was very successful with his life. You know, hopefully the father would recognize that the education that he helped provide helped his child go on and succeed in life. And hopefully that father would recognize he's done a good thing for his kid, and now his kid is out serving others in a different way. And I think that it's very helpful for all of us if we recognize that education isn't just job training. It isn't just teaching somebody to do something so they can make money by doing it, but it really does change who we are inside. A real education, a good education does, and helps make us better at doing everything because we've learned how to learn, we've learned how to think in a more organized way, and so on.
So how are women who decide to either end or pause a career that they've trained for in college, how are they often regarded by those who can put themselves forward as the advocates of egalitarianism and women's rights?
Well, sometimes I think they're treated as traitors, perhaps, or even just sort of wasteful children, you know, who've thrown a plate of food in the garbage or something like that, as people who ought to go into the workforce because they can. But that's coming from a very narrow view of what life is about. It's coming from this view that, you know, life is all about doing exactly the thing that a man from, you know, the late 20th, early 21st century would do with his life.
You say that education should not just be a synonym for job training. What do you mean by that?
When we look at the way education has been regarded historically throughout nearly all of history, it's been seen as something that helps people learn how to think, learn how to learn, and part of that is through knowing truth. You know, the culture passes along truth and wisdom to human individuals because people need that from the outside. We don't have that inside. And so I think really any culture that wants to be a decent culture needs to care about educating everyone and helping everyone have those tools, how to think, how to live, what is good and true and beautiful. And certainly in Lutheranism, you know, we have a rich heritage of education. Martin Luther was somewhat remarkable in his day for insisting that, yes, girls need to have an education. Poor boys need to have an education. Everyone needs to have that, not just the elite who are going to go on and do specific jobs.
So you spoke earlier about education being, we need to think about it more broadly in terms of what it does for the individual who has that education. It wasn't that long ago that they had something called a liberal arts education, where you weren't on a career path, you were just becoming an educated person. Has that been largely neglected or forgotten?
I think that perhaps the the problem is that liberal arts have been taught very poorly in America and in the Western world in the last 50 years, and so people haven't realized how valuable they are because they've been handed down very poorly. But certainly, yes, people used to see that kind of education as, you know, the key base for all kinds of other educations, for the doctors and the lawyers, but also for the thinking people of society.
Now, talk about education as increasing someone's ability to make choices, increasing someone's ability to pursue opportunities.
Well, I think education is, it teaches you a great deal about yourself. You learn more about yourself. Even though it sounds a little odd, because you understand so much more about the outside world, you have a broader view, you have a perspective that helps you see yourself in contrast and in comparison to broader truth, to humanity. You see a much larger picture of the whole world and of your place in it. And I think that's very helpful, say, to a mom who's at home raising her children, to be able to think about, you know, what is my job as a parent? You know, what am I raising these children for? What am I trying to give them? What really matters on a day-to-day basis? What are my big life goals? And a good education certainly should help a person with the self-discipline and organizational skills and things like that that are also helpful if you're trying to run a household well.
So a young woman who is going to college, she has a field of study that she wants to pursue, but she says, what I really want to do is be a wife and a mom. Nothing wrong with that?
Oh, absolutely not. And I know a lot of young women who've had they felt a quandary as they look at education. I think I did as well. We know that, you know, in today's society, if you don't get a college degree and you do end up having to support yourself, it's difficult. But at the same time, if you go and get an education, you end up with a lot of debt. You know, how do you balance this, and how do you balance that against a hope of being a stay-at-home mom? And certainly I would advise young women who are in that position to consider thinking outside the box. You know, you don't necessarily want to go to Harvard and pay a huge amount of money and have debt that's going to shackle you to one particular path. And I think that's true for nearly anyone, you know, to choose wisely. But I think it is a good thing to go ahead and get as good an education as you can and to prepare yourself for a vocation, you know, prepare yourself to serve others through a job if that is what you end up doing.
Turning to the issue of kind of our misconceptions about what's good for society, you say society should trust women, even if they decide not to pursue a career. Why?
Yes, it's very interesting that in some ways it's the feminists and the liberals who say, oh, we need to trust people. We need to trust women about abortion. You know, we need to trust the poor to collect welfare well, and people are naturally good and all this. But in a very contradictory way, I think they're very suspicious of women who want to stay home with their children. I think they're suspicious that those women will do much at home and that they will work hard and do meaningful things because they don't have that outside accountability. You know, nobody is giving them performance reviews or raises, and you know their family's not going to fire them if they just sit around surfing the internet and eating chocolates. But we have to consider, you know, who are these people who are staying home with their children? You know, they're women who are usually making a financial sacrifice, the family sacrificing together to make this happen. You know, these women are working for their children, you know, these people and their husbands, you know, these people whom they love presumably more than anyone in the world. And I think that we definitely need to have trust in women and trust that women will do meaningful work at home and will devote themselves to doing what they can for their families and also for the wider community. Because, you know, I think a lot of us may have, you know, had an experience where it was the stay-at-home mom or it was the woman who was at home instead of working, who could come and help others during the day or in that moment when no one else was available.
Is it not just society's kind of downplaying the importance of a stay-at-home mom? Has feminism exacerbated that situation?
I think so. And I think that perhaps feminism is kind of stuck in some ways and a little bit of an old-fashioned mentality is still sort of stuck in this idea that women will be safer once they can be fully independent of men, and therefore what women need is to have the jobs that all the men were trying to get some years ago and is not really thinking about, you know, what is actually the purpose in life and what is actually best for women, or even in some ways, what is actually the reality of today's world and today's job market.
So how do we value a stay-at-home mother without conversely condemning the mother who either chooses to or, in a lot of cases, has to work?
And that's a very important point, because it is difficult to talk about how a stay-at-home mom gives such a wonderful gift to her children without seeming to imply that those other moms who work are failing their kids in some way by not being there. And I think we need to realize that life is very complicated, and our job as moms, no matter what we do, is to look at our children and with our husbands as a family, figure out what is best for these children, and to do that. It may be that we sacrifice a job and money. It may be that we sacrifice our desire to be at home all of the time. But our role as moms is to do our best for our kids and not to be competing with other women or comparing ourselves to them.
Speak to that young woman who says, I kind of feel guilty. I would like to quit the job that college helped me get, but I feel guilty. What I really want to do is quit this job, stay at home and raise children. What would you say to her?
Well, I guess we're assuming that she's married and she's in a position to have these children. I would say that it's a very good work that she can do. You know, in the book Ladylike, I know you guys have talked about that on Issues, Etc., the authors make a comment that in some ways we get into this blind mentality that as long as you're paid for it, it's worth more. So if we all pay our neighbors to go, you know, we all hand our neighbors $20, everybody goes digs a hole in each other's yard instead of just digging our own hole, somehow that's better. But it's a very good thing to be at home, taking care of your children, serving others in this way, and you are contributing to society by doing this for your children, preparing people to go out into the world. And I would suggest that if she's feeling guilty just because she thinks it's a waste not to be using her education, or just because she knows that people will give her a hard time, that she doesn't have to feel that way.
Anna, you went to college?
I did.
You got a degree.
Mm-hmm.
What was it in?
It was in secondary education and history with a Latin minor.
What were you planning in the heady college days to do? Were you planning to stay home with the kids?
Well, I knew that was a hope. I did like the idea of being able to get married and have children, but I really wasn't sure whether or not that would happen. I didn't date anybody until after college, so there was certainly a possibility that wasn't going to happen. So I did expect to either teach and or go to graduate school. I was on that academic route at one point, and I was accepted into a graduate program, and I thought about that, but then things took a different turn, and I got married and had kids.
Has that education that you got, has it benefited you and your family in spite of the fact that you didn't pursue the career that it was connected to?
Oh, I think absolutely. And it's difficult in life to pin down those intangible things. You know, this experience helped me here and here and here and there. But I think that education absolutely helped me grow up a little bit more mentally and emotionally. And it helped me get the beginnings of wisdom. I certainly hope to grow there as well. And therefore, I think it really does help my children as I make all of these little decisions that do have a big impact on them and their lives.
Would you discourage, if you have a daughter, would you discourage her from pursuing a college career?
I think my default would absolutely be to encourage it. I would hope that, you know, she can look at it wisely, think about what are all of her goals, definitely try to avoid debt, but I would absolutely love to see my daughters as educated as possible.
Anna Mussman is a stay-at-home mother of two toddlers. She's author of an article for The Federalist titled, No, Stay-at-Home Moms Don't Waste Their Education. You'll find a link to it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Anna, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be with us on the other side of the break. Part 5 of our series on Lutheran identity, we'll be talking about word and sacrament. That's a term Lutherans use. And another Lutheran term, means of grace. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office. 314-416-8117.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Confessional, liturgical, sacramental. Lutheran Church of the Redeemer is located in Columbus, Georgia, right next to Fort Benning, Georgia, off of Exit 7 on I-185. Come receive our Lord Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and grace every Sunday in the Divine Service. For more information, visit our website, RedeemerColumbusGA.org.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.